CRM has historically been looked at just as a sales tool. Even though the name is customer relationship management, it's mm-hmm. only been seen as a sales focused tool. And right. it starts to really disrupt that consistency in a customer's journey or that experience. And we really believe that the companies that win the most effectively today deliver the best customer experience.
Welcome to Aligned, the podcast dedicated to helping emerging middle market companies pursue growth and bridge the gap between sales and marketing. In today's episode, our host, Sean Doyle, joins Fitzmartin's Jessica Jardin and HubSpot's Jordan Benjamin for a two-part Fitzmartin webinar discussing the overarching methodology driving new technology integrations. If this is your first time listening, we encourage you to subscribe and leave a rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. Now, let's dive in.
I think with full disclosure, we work on the same team, so we should mention that probably. Yeah,
we do.
And Jordan, I didn't know you had your own podcast.
Podcast? I just published episode 50, so...
Wow.
Interviewing different sales leaders on the mental side of sales versus the actual tactics. But I talk to people about tactics all day, so I like getting into the mindset.
Brilliant. So we do Aligned, and it's designed for sales executives, marketing executives, and CEOs of emerging middle market companies who are looking for ways to break through plateaus. And I need to invite you to join us and talk to us about sales someday. That'd be fabulous.
I love it.
But any listener that's on right now, they're going, get to it, guys. Get to it. So,
well,
might as well then.
Yes. Being part of Fitzmartin, of course, we always like to say that we're tech agnostic, but the reality is moving from agnostic to practicality, we find ourselves coming back to HubSpot time and time again. So today we wanted to talk about the why and decidedly brought in Jordan, a one point of view guy who has worked with leaders across a wide gamut. From scalable startups to manufacturing, he's worked with a number of enterprise systems. And, you know, the three of us can talk about tech and sales for days, but for part one of this series, I would love to get both of your perspectives on what executive teams need to know when vetting solutions. Being in a sales role myself, I run into this conversation constantly when leaders are looking at new CRMs, new marketing automation technology, or if they're looking to optimize and consolidate their existing tech stack. And in those conversations, those big names like Salesforce, Dynamics, they always come up. I'd say because they've been around for so long, they're trusted by IT teams. But all of us on this call know about the challenges that can come with sticking with the status quo. And anyone in sales knows that each decision maker on those leadership teams, they have particular views and their own individual motivations. So what makes IT happy likely won't be anywhere near as exciting for a CMO or a CFO, for example. So Sean, I'll pass it over to you. And then the same question to you, Jordan, because you both have great expertise from different point of views. Why is HubSpot recommended so often?
Oh, sure. Yeah, we are, as you said, we're agnostic, and that's intentional because often we end up working in Dynamics or working in Salesforce. But when we get to help somebody make that choice, we always lean on the product that's going to be the easiest to implement and adopt and use, because we've gone into so many places where they've got a powerful system. We worked for a client in DC that had invested nearly $1 million in implementation and trying to make a product work, but nobody used it. And they ended up scrapping it and choosing HubSpot. And the reason wasn't that the technology wasn't as flexible or more flexible or less flexible or IT. It was the IT and accounting made the decision the first time to buy what they thought was the safest choice. What they didn't understand was if nobody used it, it didn't matter. So right. I always lean on UX, right? So that user experience is just critical. So I think if I was talking to, and I do frequently, talk to a CEO or a CFO or even an IT person, IT has to be a little bit different. Jordan should probably address that. But if I'm talking to that C-suite, I'm saying, I get the white sheet of paper that so much software is presented with, and so much software can be presented and demo really beautifully. But the practical reality comes, is the Salesforce going to use it? Do you get the business intelligence? Is it easy? Does it work on your phone? I mean, all this simple stuff, not the big demo, the big beautiful show. So I always go with user experience.
Yeah, I think there's so much depth in that because so many times, as I've been a user of many of these different systems, I've talked to thousands of companies over the years, mm-hmm. and I'm admittedly biased, but ended up joining HubSpot after being a customer twice. So had actual experience using the tools. Is so many of these organizations have tools that nobody uses. And if you think about the early versions of CRM that came out that were cloud-based, you had to sell to the IT team. Those were the folks that were the buyers. The convincing needed to be done was, does this help my sales team? All these other things. It was, should this be accessible in the cloud? And how do we help people move in that direction? And so much of what was built was around the IT team. And in a lot of these different organizations, you have endless customization. You know, HubSpot had used Salesforce for many, many, many years before we'd actually built our CRM. They were, you know, early investors in our company when we were predominantly focused on marketing. And I think we had somewhere between like 6 and 8 full-time employees just managing our Salesforce instance. But the amount of customization in there that was built and never utilized or built and thrown away was unbelievable. And there was so much technical debt built into it, as the example you have, like $1 million of implementation costs, that people continually go in with this endless customization that makes it totally unusable. And there's some great, great, great parts of those systems that I truly love and adore. They just never actually helped me do my job that much better. And I think that's what we've really focused on, is how do we make something that's incredibly easy to use and adopt? Because to your point, Sean, if nobody uses the technology, it doesn't matter how many millions of dollars you invest in it, it doesn't help you move your business forward or drive better or more effective growth.
Whether you use a CRM, marketing automation, advertising platforms, or anything else, keeping track of your current marketing technology can be challenging. And if you need assistance sorting through your existing tech stack, FitzMartin's MarTech Audit is here to help. FitzMartin will audit your organization's currently utilized technology based on 7 categories, analyzing how your organization's tech components are used to see if you are allocating the proper funding to each criterion. The result? It delivers robust ROI savings through reduced tech fees, recommendations for future technology, and more time for your marketers to do their jobs. For more information, check out our show notes or visit FitzMartin.com.
Jordan, I know we're going to talk, because we actually did talk a little ahead of time, but I know we're going to talk more about this in depth, but I run into a lot of IT people that just say, I'm just not interested in what you sell, who you represent, HubSpot. They've got a point of view that I live in this world of whatever their platforms are, their systems are. So how do you convince them that the Salesforce, the marketing team, the usability of the product, the dashboards, the look into what's happening on the consumer journey, how do you help IT understand the value? Because my experience is the CEO is going to listen to IT and be a little suspicious of marketing because marketing often hasn't earned the trust, especially once we're into software, right? We're now marketing's advising IT on software? Wait a second.
Right.
How do you get over that hurdle?
So in our world, it's really nice because our CRM's free. And so we've got free tools on everything. So I encourage everyone, just plug it in on their website. Start seeing how easy it is to get set up, to start utilizing it. Because what I find in so many cases is IT or, you know, marketing teams trying to play IT in these more, you know, developer-focused solutions, that people are wasting their brain power on things that technology should be able to do for them while they're sleeping. So they can really get much more leverage out of their brain. You know, I think as humans, we are trying to operate like computers versus getting leverage from our technology. And so as I get IT teams in there, not only are we hyper transparent as a company, you want our security documentation, great. It all lives publicly on our website, IT team. You don't have to hunt for it. You don't have to dig. It's right there. You want to look at our user implementation guides. Awesome. They're right there for you. You want to look at G2 crowd reviews on ease of use, ease of implementation, the direction our product is going, the quality of our support. All of these things are validated by outside sources and there for people to capture without having to dig, because that's the day and age that we live in where our buyers, whether it's the IT team, whether it's the CEO, C-suite, or end user, they're educated today. So we try to really make it super easy on them and really transparent. So it's not this, you know, game of having to try and outsmart somebody or out-trick somebody on how you get them set up for the long term.
You know, I think the idea of a white sheet of paper, and I guess I'm pointing particularly at Salesforce on this one, because I think that's their best proposition, is it's a white sheet of paper. Microsoft would offer that, Oracle would offer that, a lot of people would offer that. And I think the white sheet of paper is a really appealing idea when you're in the marketing or in the buying journey as you're listening, because you dream, it allows you to dream. So as an expert in understanding how people buy things, like if you can get someone to dream, then you're selling, man. You're selling it. So this white sheet of paper concept, and we can make it do anything. Well, man, executives get excited. We want it to do this and that. Oh, yeah, we can do that. We can do that. The reality of sales and marketing, ultimately, and I think a lot of the industry, I've spent my entire career in it, and I'll finish my career in it. Do you ever finish? I don't think you ever. You're always a marketer, right? I think the beauty of it is that it doesn't have to be that complicated. We don't have to go to a white sheet of paper to do this really well. People are people. People buy things. They go through a specific pattern when they buy things. There's certain information that's needed along the journey, and we don't need a white sheet of paper to figure that out. Now, there's nuances, and I've found Hub to be incredibly flexible where there's nuances. One guy's pipeline report might be different than another person's pipeline report. Okay, no problem. We can do any kind of pipeline report you need. That flexibility is in there, but we don't need to rethink the contact record. There might be different things in the contact record, but we know we need a contact record, and we know we need it to be incredibly flexible to integrate with other systems. So I think the executive team needs to know when they're making this choice, actually, I think they shouldn't buy a white sheet of paper. I think they're spending time. But let's change the context. If I was selling accounting software and I went in and said, white sheet of paper for accounting software. If you don't want to use a general ledger, you don't have to. We can use any accounting system you want. People would go, what are you talking about?
Totally.
Right? So Why do we do that in marketing and sales? Why do we think a white sheet of paper is better? I mean, accounting has principles. Yeah,
we're creatives.
You can be creative within boundaries. This is a whole nother intellectual conversation. Creativity has to happen in boundaries. So a well-built structure of best practices. What a great set of boundaries to work inside of.
Yeah. And I think the other piece that we've seen, especially as we talk about really anything within the HubSpot tech stack on sales, marketing, customer service, is CRM has historically been looked at just as a sales tool. Even though the name is customer relationship management, it's only been seen as a sales focused tool. And it starts to really disrupt that consistency in a customer's journey or that experience. And we really believe that the companies that win the most effectively today deliver the best customer experience. And so when we have our teams living in silos, you know, we also like to think growth is a team sport. It's not just on the sales team. It's not just on marketing or service, which is a critical component that's really been left out of that growth conversation for many years that is so critical in today's day and age as we think about what we talk about as a flywheel growth model. But really, it's about how do we track every touch point along that relationship so we actually enable our internal team to have shared context. So our conversations are not anymore of, oh, I had no idea you had that interaction with our marketing or our service team as a sales rep, but it's, oh, I saw you were checking out this content on our website about XYZ. How can I help? Or, oh, I was getting ready to go, you know, renew or upsell a current customer. Oh, but it looks like they just had a challenge with our support team that's unresolved. Mm-hmm. Let's be a little bit more insightful about how we reach out. So these tools actually help people spend their time more effectively and can pull in context from all sorts of different areas that aren't just a silo of the marketing or the sales or the service and support team.
As data compliance laws become more stringent, many organizations will soon have non-compliant CRM data. Maybe you have insufficient first-party data, or you bought information from an improperly validated third party. However, Q got it. Fixing it before the 2023 deadline should be a top priority. Fitzmartin's Wake the Dead program takes dead CRM prospects and applies a behavioral science model to re-engage them into your pipeline. In this process, you can reclaim old prospects or delete old ones, giving you a clean and compliant database with new opportunities from previously forgotten contacts. By retargeting with email and text automation, clients you might have considered dead or unresponsive will move forward and become potential prospects once again. For more information, check out the show notes or visit fitzmartin.com.
Love it. To that end, we've discovered in our implementations that it's time for chat, to add chat. Well, there's some pretty easy ways we can add chat through Hub without having to go out, vet new tools, new ideas. It's very plug and play. It's very easy. There's a lot of built in the family kind of pre-thought work, and it makes it so much simpler. So maybe, I don't know, what does the executive team need to know? You can get to market speedily. You can get speed to cash is faster. Development costs to implement are lower. The ability to grow is not hobbled and by a rigidity. And HubSpot, I think, does have more rigidity than other systems. Is
yeah,
fair?
We definitely do. We've expanded upon that over the last few years to give some more flexibility. But that's, you know, one of the benefits of, you know, having the blank sheet of paper of like create anything you want. That is the right solution for a lot of, for quite a few companies.
We worked with a company that had 19 divisions in, I think it was 13 or 14 countries. They each had separate P&Ls. They each had different cost accounting methodologies. Great. You need a really complex, start with a white sheet of paper, build it. But we don't run into many. We specialize in this emerging middle market space. You don't have to have that kind of complexity. In fact, most businesses are seeking to remove complexity to be more efficient.
That is so huge. Thinking about reducing friction in the process for your prospect, for your customer, as well as for your internal team. And that's really why I think we've been able to grow so much over my time here, even as I was a customer, is because we solve for such a wide breadth of the market. And then as our tools have grown, as we've used them for ourselves for many years, they have had to scale with us. So now all of a sudden we're, you know, multi-thousand person company across many countries and multiple offices and business units, et cetera. And great. Now our tools can support more advanced scale and help grow with folks. It, you know, initially with just a free CRM, yeah, it was a great fit for some small companies. But now over time, we've scaled to this point where we can really support folks of most any size. And that is what I think has been a really awesome advantage for us in the market Yeah, we're not just a great fit for the ultra enterprise like a handful of these solutions are in specific use cases.
Most of the companies we're working with in that emerging middle market space, they're still looking for the simplest of alignment. They just want marketing and sales to work together. And most of the companies we work with find a tremendous amount of value by identifying late stage sales and starting there and doing what we call selling backward. So if I can spend more time identifying your most valuable prospects that you can close the quickest, and most of our time getting quickly to getting sales and marketing to understand how to work together, then that gets my clients to the cash and the revenue that they want faster instead of dreaming it up from scratch and going through massive development processes.
Yeah,
so we've probably beaten this one up, Jessica. I know you've got other things you want us to talk about, so forgive us for Jordan and I could talk for hours.
I'll close with two thoughts. Is time to value, I think, is really critical. And one of the things that we like to say to people is we've built our own, you know, CMS system, so you can really run your business end to end if you wanted. Is in so many cases, as you think about CRM or CMS, we can typically grow a human in our bodies faster than we can launch a website or get a new CRM system implemented for $1 million. And that's just crazy to us that companies spend so much time trying to work out this perfect system in a vacuum that ends up not being perfect 6, 12, 18, 24 months down the road, that you go back and have to rehash again and spend thousands and millions of dollars on. So that's what we really think about. How do we make this easy to use, easy to adopt? So ultimately, people On my Peloton workout, they like to say progress over perfection, because we're never perfect. And if we can start making progress faster, we're going to be able to iterate and move forward much more effectively.
Powerful.
One of my favorite mantras. I'm glad that you mentioned that, Jordan. And I would love to continue the conversation around UX, specifically around the practical day-to-day application. But I think that would be better for session two. So if you all would join us for the next episode as we continue the conversation with Sean and Jordan, we would love to see you there.
We sure appreciate you listening today. If you would like to get in contact with today's guest or stay in touch with us, visit our show notes. Additionally, to get the latest strategies for the alignment between marketing and sales, visit fitsmartin.com. As a reminder, if you have found value in today's episode, leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcast, Google Podcast, Spotify, or your favorite podcast directory. Until next time, thanks for listening.